Well, Chuck, I read the news today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's not looking good. The prognosis is not good. And we're here on Mutiny Radio, as we often are, to break it down in the strange land. Things are very strange.
Yeah, get out your scorecards, fellas, because you can't follow this without a program.
You need, like, a golf pencil? Right? I'm sure Trump has a lot of those. And he just carries it in his pocket. Well, but you know what? We should talk about some things happen that are good this week. Or at least not all terrible, right? There's some things that happen that are pretty good. Chelsea Manning released from prison.
Yes, yes, yes.
Very good news.
One of the good things Obama did. He prosecuted her, but
yeah, I was gonna say there's a dark side to that story.
Yeah, but at least
it's an atrocity that she had to do anything at all when she just exposed war crimes.
Exactly,
truly,
exactly, war crimes.
I mean, you know, and they that were true. By the way, those were not fake or anything. But you know, hey, use the Espionage Act, even though we haven't used. He prosecuted more whistleblowers than you know ever before, and using a bill or an act that had not been used in many years. You know, Espionage Act. I forget the year, but really, I mean, he at least did the right thing and said, I cannot have Chelsea Manning in prison under a Trump administration. I don't know how they arrive at the date that they arrive at.
Well, I think also it was because of all her notoriety as a transsexual.
Yeah.
And her two suicide attempts that were well publicized. Or got press.
Well, and just...
Because all those other whistleblowers weren't in the news as much as Chelsea.
I think it's the combination of the stature of the notoriety and the awfulness of the evidence that was shown, and just the definitely one of the earlier well publicized cases in the media of a whistleblowing case, and certainly her courage afterwards, and yes, the abuse that she endured that led to the first suicide attempt. And you know, certainly coming out as transgendered in the middle of all of that, in a military prison, right? That's incredibly brave. And yeah, that's a huge.
But the politics here, if you want to be cynical, the the transgender issue is such a big one, especially within Democratic ranks.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new cause,
right?
And so probably part of his decision was thinking in terms of how it would affect the Democratic Party to do that.
Yeah, I think that that's one thing that we can say Obama has been good at consistently in his administration is fomenting where his party was headed. And I think a lot of we've talked on the show a bit about, like, the infighting on the left is now, who is that person, right? Is it Hillary Clinton or is it Bernie Sanders still? Or is it some other figure? Maybe Joe Biden will ride out in from the West, right? But anyways, great news. The atrocity of having to do any time at all, but now Chelsea Manning is walking free.
One thing about Joe Biden, just an offside, criticism of Bernie has often been his age. Oh, he can't run again because of his age. Mm-hmm. But Biden is only 1 year younger.
Right. I mean, Trump is 70. I don't know what these...
I'm 70.
Yeah, I don't know what these things are, though. That people are like, say, oh, somebody like this... Like, you know, we've had really, like, old presidents, Reagan, that they hold up as...
Yeah, well, his dementia is not a good example.
Well, all right. Fair enough, but... But I'm just saying, I don't think that you can just allege because of somebody's age, you know, without any other factors in there to explain. Like that's something.
But people in the Democratic Party say, oh no, you can't go to Sanders because he's too old. But Biden, yeah, he's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Well, great news. Chelsea Manning is walking free, and politically, I don't know how some people would feel about this, but the Swedish dropped their charges against Julian Assange.
Yes.
So,
although I heard a brief sound clip of him saying that he still stands to be arrested.
Well, I'm not
sure what he was referring to, but he still feels he's in legal jeopardy.
He's talking about the Americans. He's talking about the Americans, or really the British on behalf of the Americans, in conjunction with our country.
The Swedes may not be after him, but everybody else
the
is.
They were never going to send. If they sent him to Sweden, it would just be to touch feet on soil. But they didn't need to. If they got him on British soil, they can get him on U.S. soil. So the whole point was always, we need an excuse for extradition of something that's going to be imminently charged, right? Now, if they're dropping that entirely, then the charge has to be that the Espionage Act. And if they're going to do that, right, then fucking charge him. Right? Because the things you're talking about are increasingly in the past.
In the distance.
Right? I mean, yes, he keeps leaking things, and they can probably say, certainly there's maybe some case to be made in certain cases. I don't know. But the nature of his organization is journalistic, right? So there are protections that he should be afforded. At the same time... that's not going to matter to them.
Has protected people recently?
No. I'm saying ideally, but that's not going to be the case. But they need to have some sort of justification if they're going to actually arrest him. They haven't really provided one that certainly I'm satisfied with. I doubt one that Julian Assange is satisfied with. So personally, I'm not like a Julian Assange fanboy. I mean, I think he's kind of scummy. I don't even know still if the original allegations in Sweden were true or not, but he's done things with his leaking that I like, and he's done things that he's reported and I'm not talking about like the facts. I'm talking about the way he does it, the way he'll leak things.
Yes, I agree.
Leaking a bunch of emails of just mid-level employees.
At the same time, no one has denied that what he leaked wasn't true.
No, and I'm not... in some cases they have. No, I'm not going to say that that's true, because Macron and the Clinton campaigns both said that there were emails mixed in that may have been fraudulently added, not necessarily by WikiLeaks, but just by someone that gave it to WikiLeaks, right? But they absolutely...
They should then point to specifically what it was, if they're saying it didn't happen, because that's just a baseless charge.
Right, and also muddying the waters, right. Well, I guess my main problem is, you know, why should somebody's credit card information that was leaked, hacked by an email hack, be included in a leak, right? Like, stuff. Like, as far as I know, I mean, even Edward Snowden has criticized him for this and said, hey, you know, we went through, Glenn Greenwald, when he gave it to a journalist in, I think he was with The Guardian then, before he created The Intercept. But he gave it to Glenn Greenwald, and they had an agreement. Like, you're going to have to go through this, and obviously as a good journalist you should independently verify things. I'm not always certain that's always happening with WikiLeaks, that they're independently verifying things. But on the other hand, you know, but that's... It went even further than that. Glenn Greenwald held things back that he felt would have been a threat to national security, things that would have identified certain agents that may have put them at risk, right? I don't know that Julian Assange is always doing that, so there's things about him
I
don't agree with. You know, and I just think everyone needs accountability, even, like, who watches The Watchers? You know, like, even he needs accountability. Even journalists, you know, we're pro-journalists, journalism on the show. I think that... there's an ethical code that has to be followed, too, and I don't know that that's always the case. Anyways, Julian Assange should be able to walk free. He hasn't done anything, I think, that is, like, arrestable, like, chargeable offense.
Yeah.
Realistically, if he tried to step out of the Ecuadorian embassy...
it's been 6 years now he's been there.
I think, technically, he could. And hopefully the Ecuadorians are still very generous and not getting too tired of his shit. But, like... He should be able to go walk around, but I have a feeling that in his mind and a lot of people's minds, if he steps out, then he's going to be picked up on some trumped up thing,
or
maybe literally Trump,
or somebody will shoot him.
Yeah, no, that's always So he can't just walk down to the local pharmacy and get stuff. Well, there's any other good news from this week, Chuck, before we jump into it? Saw a video of cute little foxes playing. Little clutch or whatever they're called. A pod. A pod of foxes. I don't know. And they're just so adorable. So that happened this week.
Ah, good. Good.
Other than that, there's also video going around of protesters being beaten and choked by bodyguards of the Turkish president, Erdogan.
Yes, I saw the video. And these thugs, dressed in business suits, kicking people in the face when they're lying prostrate on the ground. And the D.C. police took their time to try to intervene and only arrested protesters. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say, well, they didn't arrest them because they had diplomatic immunity. Well, you assume they had diplomatic immunity. You let that hash that out at the precinct. Mm-hmm. But you see somebody assaulting people like that.
Right. No, you need to take them in.
That's it.
You need to stop this from happening.
Not just say, don't do that.
I believe 9 people were taken to the hospital. There were some arrests. 2 people. I don't believe they were the bodyguards, though. They said it was aggravated assault and assault on a police officer. So who knows? But the story that I'm hearing is that they're...
I heard it was protesters.
It was probably protesters that were just doing their job. But overall, I mean, there was someone, a specific activist who... many of these people were pro-Kurdish activists, and they don't like what Turkey's doing to the Kurds and really oppressing them in that country. Well, that particular activist that was, I guess, holding a sign, he became a target for these bodyguards, and they put him in the hospital. Right, and so there's this big campaign online to say, "Hey, Trump, are you going to say something about this? Are you going to do anything about this in your own country, in your own front door, essentially?" Right, like.
But no.
No, that's the thing that he likes. He likes that. So whatever the issue was, now Trump is on Erdogan's side on that. I'm sure, because he got to see some protesters beat up, and he loves that. It's disgusting. And it's all, this kind of stuff happens all over the country. Now, a group of white nationalists, these are white supremacists, carried torches, chanting, "You will not replace us." You being everyone that's not them, and us being, it's us versus them. That's their whole thing. You will not replace us. You know, I wonder what the rest of that chant in their mind is. But this is in Virginia, over the plans to remove the monument of a Confederate general. So, the celebration of General Robert E. Lee and the treasonous, anti-American, unpatriotic movement that was pro-slavery, right? So that's what they're upset about.
I spent one of my high school years in Kentucky visiting my father. And they kept talking about the Northern aggression against the South, this kind of thing. And, I mean, they declared war on the North. They fired on Fort Sumter. Mm-hmm. They were the aggressors.
It's absolutely true. Yeah.
It wasn't like the North said, "Oh, well, you're seceding. We're going to make sure you don't." All discussion had to end because they had declared war.
Yeah.
So there was no aggression from the North. It came from the South. Sorry, I had to get
No, that. I mean, it's all related, right? And you have people apologizing and worshiping that culture, and including people like Richard Spencer, who also love, Nazi culture and accomplishments. And these are alt-right, racist, white supremacist, white nationalist, pro-fascist assholes. They're out there... with torches, they know what that image is. And now it's, look what we can do when we don't have to wear hoods. That's the message there. We're going to carry torches. We know what that looks like.
Well, yeah. Well, I feel the
Ku Klux
Klan was the only, the only people sticking up for white people during Reconstruction. And
Richard Spencer went out there like the fucking sputtering membrane around the asshole that he is, just sputtering his shit everywhere. And in there, this is something he said, whites have a future of power, meaning in this country. He was talking about in this country. Whites have a future of power. So basically, whites, power. Interesting. If I take out those three letters, these three words, and this is having, this is an effect based on, you know, individuals who are being radicalized in this country, and also the agencies that are pushing for this. I think one of the worst, most immediate detrimental things that Trump has been able to control, you know, he's alienated the courts by insulting them, he's alienated the FBI by taking out their the leader that they liked and insulting them, and he's like, keeps insulting, but he has the Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions, and immigration officials in this country and officers are going gangbusters. This is their time to just bust heads. A number of immigrants arrested by U.S. authorities. The number has soared in the first months of this administration, rising by nearly 40% higher than it was, according to new figures. ICE said its agents arrested more than 41,000 people in the first 100 days since Trump signed an executive order on immigration.
I heard that more than half of them have no had no interaction with the law at all.
Criminal record or anything. Yeah. No. No prior arrests. Yeah, no, and these are just people who are trying to make our country great by putting their sweat of their brow into the work that they do, and they are incredibly hardworking. And I can't believe that people are looking at this, because you know that these right-wing assholes are looking at this and going, huh, you said he didn't do anything in his first 100 days. He just kicked out a bunch of brown people. You know, that's exactly what these Trump people are going to say, these Trumpsters. And they're happy about this, but there are people who have died. There's a man from Panama who was in Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center, and he died after being held for 19 days in solitary confinement. It's an apparent suicide. Jean Jimenez Joseph, he was 27. He was only 27 years old.
How do you commit suicide in solitary when you have nothing?
You know, good question, but the I'm not going to say that that didn't happen or that's not the case. I just but that put him in solitary confinement for 19 days when the United Nations found that solitary confinement for longer than 15 days was torture, and they're calling for it to be prohibited, right, internationally. Well, yeah, they put him in there for 19 days, and he was in... I can't even imagine, though. Like, there's other people that have been pulled out of hospitals. There are people who someone had a tumor in their head, and they came and took them out of the hospital. The people in hypothermia shelters, they're going after. They found a shelter of people who were I'm assuming maybe homeless or, you know, people without a lot of
resources.
Yeah. And they said, okay, we'll go get this scum, and we'll kick them out of the country because they're in a shelter, and they don't have a lawyer. Right, and that's exactly what's going on.
They're doing this with relish.
That's what it seems like. When they go and they take a father from his daughter in front of her at her school.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with rounding up bad hombres.
No, he lied. He lied.
And I saw these assholes, these ICE assholes,
yeah,
at the federal building when I visited, and they were smirking because they had everybody in a tizzy. Mm-hmm. Damn it.
Well, they now have a device to monitor cell phones. They've had it. It's been used on terrorists in the past. They're using a counterterrorism weapon to spy on cell phones against just people in this country trying to make it, trying to get by. And this is a federal search warrant affidavit reveals that the federal investigators have used a cell site simulator, these are the stingrays we've talked about many times, to seek out undocumented immigrants, according to a report by Detroit News. The machine tricks cell phones in its vicinity into giving its location data, is capable of interrupting the service, and cannot be used without a judge's prior approval. So they're using this now, ICE is using this now. We said this, you know, anything that's in the hands of the intelligence spooks, right, ends up in the hands of the police. Eventually, usually, like, larger cities first, and then now it's just in the hands of ICE.
The national police.
Yeah. I mean, in that...
The Gestapo.
Everything that they've ever used is going to be used, and it always starts like this, people. Anyone, I mean, I know we're probably preaching to people based on, feedback. These are people just agree with us. But I really hope there's people listening who, who think differently and think in ways that I would like to maybe course correct from your misconceptions. But this is the first group of people they're doing this shit to. When they want to go beat people up, when they want to let the fucking Turkish bodyguards beat up a Kurdish man in America, when they want to let these people get their heads busted in and taken into custody and put in solitary confinement so long and that they commit suicide in jails across the country, the Justice Department is not going to stop people like, Joe Arpaio's out, but other people, they're promoting Sheriff Clark, who's let people die in his jail, including a baby to punish the mother.
Right, right. Yeah, she is in labor. They won't help her. She had to deliver herself, and they didn't take the baby and let it die.
Yeah.
And also the same Clark shit let a man die in his jail of thirst.
Yeah.
No water. Mm-hmm. And the other inmates were saying, you have to give him water. It wasn't that they didn't know. They killed this man.
Yeah.
And Clark is being let into the Trump administration. I forget in what capacity, but he's joining them in Washington now.
And the numerous black women and men and others in this country who have died mysteriously after being arrested and put in prison, especially if they were outspoken in their activism, right? That's happened in this country.
Sandra Bland.
Yeah. So this is their motive, and this is the motive of fascist governments in the past. This is what everyone does. They go after the people in society who are the other, who are minorities, who are seen as lesser or dirty in some way, or not legitimate, or illegals. Right? When they start using that as a noun.
Well, they're low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, they're others. They're not really people.
Yeah.
So this is what they're going to do, and they're going to start with that, and then they're going to just include more groups and more minorities, and then they'll erode more rights, and everybody's just going to be living under an oppressive system before you know it. And just a 1984 world government future. They don't like globalism. They don't like the world government idea, right? Well, good luck not having that under a bunch of international bankers and fascist law and order authoritarians that in multiple governments that are Putin, Erdogan, Trump, Duterte. Good luck. That's what I say. You don't want globalism? Well, good job, and those people.
It's globalism under global fascism.
We could have had Star Trek, and we're getting 1984 thanks to them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've talked about that many times. Yeah.
Yeah. The world is going to unify. You know, that is the evolution. But what future do we want? Well, we seem to have chosen.
Yeah. Well, it appears even more of this fucking damage is going to be done by Trump, in addition to everything Jeff Sessions is doing. But Donald Trump is, of course, made bogus claims just for his own ego, because the crowds weren't big enough, that it made his penis feel small, because he lost the popular vote. He had to lie and say 3 million people voted, and a shitload of people are saying, oh, I saw him being bussed in, when they know they didn't. But they have to think that to justify this, because Trump said 3 million people illegally voted without a shred, without a single scrap of evidence. And the guy who said it said we have the data. Where's the data? Oh, no, I can't really. We don't have. I mean, I can't show you. That's the story, right, of the 3 million people. But he's going to create a commission. He's going to create the Federation for American Immigration Reform. It's called FAIR. And he's going to have Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach. He's going to be part of this. He's part of FAIR, right? He's going to serve as vice chair of this commission, and Vice President Mike Pence. So the panel's going to look at allegations of improper voting and fraudulent voter registration. So they're going to just find, like, the six examples in the country that they can, right? And then they'll say, oh, yeah, this proves it, right? Or they'll trump up some, or just make up some, or they'll fudge some numbers without... And they'll do what Chris Kobach has been doing, which is alleging a bit in cases, and then doesn't prosecute them because, of course, he knows they're not actual cases. And that happens all the time with him. And he's the one behind the cross-check system.
Yeah.
This guy is a bad hombre. Chris Kobach has been is a far-right extremist. He's pushing for these highly restrictive voting laws. He is a xenophobic threat to democracy. That's what I was looking for. Professor at Fordham University, Jed Sugarman, calls him a xenophobic threat to democracy. He says he's followed his career for 20 years. He's seriously dangerous. He's crusading to restrict people's right to vote. He's the same one who was the architect of the SB 1070 in Arizona, otherwise known as the Papers, Please! Law.
Yeah.
He was part of that. He worked with the, I think, American Legislative Exchange, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. He has been pushing other anti-immigrant statutes and in states and in local municipalities. The Southern Poverty Law Center documented the harm caused by anti-immigration laws that he championed in many communities. So this is all reported and documented, the actual damage and harm that this guy can do. And he has ties to, through the group FAIR that he's a part of, he has ties to white supremacists, eugenicists, numerous people who have made racist statements, and he himself addressed a racist gathering in 2015. So this is the kind of person, along with Ken Blackwell, who is incredibly anti-LGBT, part of a LGBT hate group, really. These people are in charge of making sure that, you know, the vote is fair. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. People. He's got ties to white nationalists. If you want it to be fair for whites and nobody else, you want it to be back in the 1950s. That's what they mean when they say make America great again. We've warned you, and it's happening in slow motion. I'm lecturing. I'm sorry.
No, these people really do feel emotionally that they're under assault. They're usually my generation or a little older.
Yeah.
And they really bought into the milk white toast America.
Well, literally, they have pictures of them drinking white milk. Yeah. Whole white milk.
And white toast and of the 50 sitcoms.
Who doesn't like chocolate milk? That's the thing that's confusing to me. Anyways.
And that was America. It was all white because you didn't see black people on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it was their club.
Yeah.
And then everybody was getting rights and making noise and making them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so, no, they wanted all to go back to where they didn't have to think about those
things.
They
just put MAGA at the end of things now, and they're like posts and tweets and comments on things.
MAGA?
Make America Great Again.
Oh.
Hashtag. Right? They'll just say, it's not even related, and they'll put it up there. You know, people, when they're committing these assaults and hate crimes, and even just vandalism or just, you know, social rudeness, which is not a crime, but it's fucking tacky and trashy, right? But a lot of times, this will come accompanied to them with saying, like, Trump won. Heil Trump, go Trump, you know, make America great again. That bullshit makes me sick. And no, and that's, like, if it's connected, because they keep saying it, how is it unfair to point out the connection, right? I'm not saying every case, but there are cases. Should we talk about what has happened in Trump news this week?
Oh, yes, well, okay.
Well, I mean, we've just been talking kind of...
Every day is a new scandal.
Yeah, it was every week it was a scandal. Now, yeah,
Every day,
yes.
The news is...
Let's give you the day by day. I'm not going in order necessarily, but Trump revealed highly classified information to Russian foreign minister and ambassador. Just found that out at the end of last week, right?
Brought into the Oval Office, there was nobody else there.
Well, no, that's not true. Russian media was allowed to take pictures.
Yeah.
Right. There was a point.
Bring in their equipment, plant bugs.
There was a point where he did ask Pence and was Masters, was he in the room? I believe he did at one point ask them to leave the room. So, yeah, that's suspicious, right? And, I mean, maybe not, I just go talk to these guys, but, like, apparently everything that he did talk about in that meeting, he did release intelligence information that the source of that information would have much rather kept secret, right?
And we know, we have transcripts provided by Russia.
Well, Putin's saying, oh, I can give you the, my media was there. Right, I can give you the transcripts, America. You have to come through me. That's exactly what that means. That little comment there, which I'm sure Trump felt a little stung by, right? That he's being humiliated by his paymaster.
Well, he's too dumb to realize.
Maybe that too, but yeah, Putin is just saying, "Hey, Americans, you want to know what's going on? You got to ask me, and I'll give you my version of events."
I forget who said this. Maybe Trump himself. They were invited in because he got a call from Putin asking.
Well, I mean,
him to see them.
The meeting itself, I don't know that there was anything improper about him. He's the president, right? And he is legally allowed to give out classified information as he deems fit, right? This person he's doing it just to be, hey, check out this cool thing I know.
But it was Putin who set up the meeting.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. But I mean, but they had the meeting planned. It came suspiciously right after he fired Comey, but that's because he's an idiot and doing that was a botch at all, but definitely the timing of it was when he knew he had a meeting with Russians 2 days later. It was the very next day. Ridiculous. And giving out information that we now believe was from our allies in Israel. Israeli agents, Mossad, that means, and it was information about ISIS, that means this person is probably embedded as an undercover agent in ISIS, and giving the location to the Russians might mean it gets to Bashar al-Assad. It could mean a number of things. Who knows? But you just gave it out. Even our own allies don't know this. Our own other allies and our own Congress doesn't know this. There were people in the White House, of course, who didn't know this, but Russian agents, the diplomat and Kizilyak,
the Russian spymaster,
didn't say was going to be there, but he was there, and yeah, he's known to be a spymaster. So. The foreign minister and ambassador. That is an ambassador, but he's known to run ops like that. But then whatever. Remember when Obama stopped certain operations from being allowed to happen from the Russians? Trump has let that stuff go on again. He's like, let's let it happen. Let's let the Russians put their craft, 12 nautical miles out from our shore, right? Let's let Putin dictate when I take meetings. Ridiculous. He told them, apparently, that firing nutjob Comey, he's always got to throw something in, eased the pressure from his investigation. He also, in an interview,
admitted that this was tied to the Russians. Comey.
But he had already admitted that on an interview the week before. But there's multiple interviews. Yeah, I just fired the head of the FBI. He was crazy, a real nutjob. I have faced great pressure because of Russia. That's taken off. Wow, does the first part of that sentence have something to do with the latter half, or is he going to have some weird, well, I sometimes change what I'm talking about entirely mid-thought, yes. He boasted of firing to the Russian ambassador, and his boastfulness is a lot of what's undoing him. He's not able to keep a consistent story. Sometimes he'll just come out with the truth, or some shade of it, even though there's a bunch of lies, and they really tried to blame Comey's firing on Rod Rosenstein. I'm trying to remember his name earlier. Deputy General Rod Rosenstein. This is, people need to pay attention to this because this guy is important. He's the one who put out the memo that they claimed said that Comey should be fired. But if you read the memo, it says a lot of things about Comey. He's actually very disappointed in his behavior and his actions just prior to the election to Hillary Clinton, right? But at no point in the letter does he say that any of that rises to a fireable offense, nor does it say anything about him being fired. It does not recommend that. And it was Jeff Sessions and Donald Trump who were pushing for that. Donald Trump, despite all the stories his aides were putting out and his White House official press was putting out, He went and said, no, I did it. I made the decision. It was me. I had already decided it. Rod Rosenstein, because they've tried to rein that in now, Rod Rosenstein has wrote a memo saying that that story is not true. So he's actually saying, no, Jeff Sessions and Donald Trump. He said that that was not his memo. He did not support Comey's firing. He neither instigated his removal, nor was the memo meant to justify it. His side of the story, this was briefed to the Senate. Senators summarized his testimony to reporters because this was not an open hearing. But on Friday, the Justice Department released Rosenstein's remarks, and he basically did not verify the White House's version of events, their particular narrative. He said Attorney General Jeff Sessions was interested in removing Comey even before Rosenstein assumed his current role. And that is a pretty strong indication, right, that this was all partisan and political, and it's their own self-preservation.
Yeah. Sessions had to recuse himself because of his Russian ties.
Yeah. Rosenstein discussed how when he learned that Trump wanted to fire Comey and asked for Rosenstein's input, said, I wrote a brief memorandum summarizing my long-standing concerns about Director Comey's public statements concerning the Secretary Clinton email investigation. But at that point, the two men with the need to limit public statements and eliminate leaks, that was their main concern. But at no point was he calling for the ouster of Comey, of FBI Director Comey. Comey, for his part, this is coming out from, I guess, his associates, not from him himself, apparently had a series of memos that he was writing and keeping.
Yeah.
And he was documenting, because this is something you learn to do if you've been burned in any kind of office politics in the past. But also, I imagine, as an FBI agent, right, you're keeping memos. In fact, even any FBI agent, right, they're taking notes and they're supposed to write everything down. They're supposed to make sure they do it. In fact, if you try to record, they will stop. Did you know? I don't know if people know. I believe this is the FBI agents or government agents that will, if you record, they write down notes. And those notes, if they're an FBI agent's notes, are like gospel to a court, to a judge. I'm not saying I agree with that, right? I don't trust Comey or the FBI. I just trust them a lot more than I trust a bunch of fascist liars, right? Especially if they're actually following a trail of evidence. But it is interesting that a court will see these and say, these were contemporaneous notes, and he took them, you know, it was fresh in his mind, and he wrote this stuff down, and he's not just an FBI agent, he was a director of the FBI. And this has been useful for them in situations in the past, where they've had to show things. So, I'm just saying, it doesn't look good for Trump at that point. If it's true, if any of those memos are true, that really paint Trump as looking very guilty. Now, we haven't seen the evidence ourselves yet, but it's like the room is being painted in and he's in a corner of it. And that's what it seems like. Just every arrow is pointing at him.
I'm sure he feels that.
Well, he should if he's guilty.
Now, the big question, are they going to do anything about all this?
Yeah, that is the question. And what, how far can this new special counsel take things? Because that is the new news.
It's in the word, counsel.
Yeah.
That's all he can really do. You can't prosecute, you can't initiate anything except collect evidence and counsel.
Yeah, but he can present a pretty damning picture that would then call for an impeachment at that point. I mean, there's a certain, at that point, if this could be very, very bad for Trump. So we'll see what happens. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not saying this is the end all be all.
Yeah, I think Congress still needs a special prosecutor. Him?
Yes.
Or are they going to wait till?
There's also, now, this this election. New guy has powers, you know, that are pretty. He has ability, you know, leeway. He has mm-hmm. some movement that he can make on this, where Trump can't influence.
And he's
him.
Not limited just to Russia.
That's right. Yeah, no, and he can look at, he can decide.
Just like Ken Starr, he yep. can take it wherever he wants.
And he can investigate who he wants, and he has latitude to do that. Any attempt by Trump's associates or anyone to obstruct the investigation, right, is an immediate, like, felony, right? You can't do that, especially now. So will they be able to help themselves if, you know, if they're guilty? And at the same time, the only way to remove him would be, because, you know, Sessions can't do it, would be if Rosenstein were to remove him. And that's not going to happen. So the only way to do that is for Trump, because he's still the boss, right, to get rid of Rosenstein and replace him with somebody else who would do that. But at that point,
a replay of Nixon's Friday.
Not even then. It's just a replay of last week when he did it to Comey, and then it's just obvious, right? I mean, that's the. I don't know how anyone can rationalize that. I guess we'll find out if that happens. But the Comey memo says Trump asked him specifically to end the Flynn investigation. Now, we haven't seen the memo. That's why I say we don't have this publicly. We don't have this information, this evidence. But allegedly, that's the case. So Trump also, according to the New York Times, they reported that the Trump team actually knew that Flynn was under investigation before they even got in the White House. This would have been the transition team.
Yeah.
This is interesting to note, and a lot of these things are interesting to note, because on record, publicly, Pence especially has said that, you know, he felt, oh, he was lied to by, or he just wasn't getting all the right information from Flynn, he didn't know these things, and he found out, he's saying even now, still, I didn't know these things until I saw it in the news, until I saw it reported, but he was the head of the transition team. He was at every one of those meetings. So, how did he not know that Michael Flynn was being investigated if the transition team was notified? How did they all keep it from Pence? Either Pence is a buffoon, right? Or he's just doing his damnedest now to make sure he's clean enough that if Trump is impeached, he can skate by. But don't take your eye off Pence. He's dirty. He's in it.
President Ryan.
In fact, the Trump campaign had at least 18 undisclosed contacts with Russians during the last 7 months of the campaign. And, you know, many of those was Sergei Kislyak, the ambassador spymaster, right? 18 undisclosed contacts. That includes the Flynn's and Sessions. And now Kushner. And it just goes on and on, you know? And these were not disclosed. Why not just disclose them if you got nothing to hide? Why was Flynn hiding shit? Why didn't he register as a foreign agent, like, with Turkey and do the paperwork when he was supposed to, and not retroactively do it now?
Because it's bad politically.
It's
be
more
labeled a foreign
okay.
agent publicly.
But maybe it's more than that. Maybe they didn't want anyone knowing they were doing it at all. Right?
That too.
Because there's something more. There is a there, and they're not wanting people to look at it. Flynn stopped, as in his role, he stopped a military plan that Turkey opposed,
yeah.
So for their benefit, as an agent of Turkey, but not registered, an unregistered agent of Turkey, he, in our government, taking our taxpayer dollars, did their bidding. He stopped the plan they opposed. He was paid more than $500,000 to represent their interests.
$500,000, right.
And he halted a military operation. Once again, something that would have cooperated with an armed Kurdish forces, who are also our allies. They're, in fact, our intelligence, the United States, considers them our most effective allies in combating ISIS. So, arguably, Flynn helped ISIS.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way. If this information gets out about the undercover agent in ISIS, it's going to help ISIS, because they can kill him or use him as a chip, some kind of prop
thing.
For not even barter, they don't barter, just some prop for their fucking propaganda murder lust, and it'll be on Trump. This, if people died because the most effective ally we have combating ISIS, Kurdish forces, who are the have a lot to lose, right? And, but they're also oppressed by Turkey. So, fuck them, right? In Michael Flynn's mind. And oh, I got $500,000. Actually, I don't even think that. I got $500,000, so I don't think anything. Just push the button. Right? Make the thing go. That's what happened. And people may have died. We don't know. Michael Flynn, still is getting getting communication from Trump.
Yeah. Which is interfering with an investigation. He's not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
His aides have tried their damnedest to keep him from contacting Flynn, but he's hell-bent on doing that.
Yeah. And I think Trump just says, oh, no, this is a made-up story. Has to be a made-up story on me, right? How can I be guilty of anything? I'm the best, right? So, of course, I gotta tell Flynn he's a good guy and he didn't do anything wrong and keep quiet. That's all. I hope he is calling him on a telephone and telling him to keep quiet because, oh my god, if Flynn is already flipped and they're recording those calls, or they're recording them anyway, yeah. Well, the probe into Russia has, this is the latest news really today, has reached at least one White House official, those familiar with the case say. So, this was in the New York Times and the Washington Post, Friday afternoon. The Post reported that the law enforcement investigation into Russian interference has now identified a current senior White House official. People are speculating online who that is, but they have not said who that is officially. So, the federal probe, it's coming from both the New York Times and the Washington Post.
A person of significant interest.
Someone, quote, close to the president.
Speculation among the speculated people is Kushner.
Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, yeah.
Yeah.
It could also be Mike Pence, we don't know. But the we will soon know, probably. But this is in addition to investigations into Paul Manafort and Flynn and Carter Page, Roger Stone, multiple Trump associates. Russian mobsters, right? If any number of these allegations are true, any percentage of them are true, it's devastating.
And we're only 5 months into the administration.
In fact, as far back as 2016, summer of 2016, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, June of 2016. Kevin McCarthy, the Republican Majority Leader, said to a group of Republicans, including Paul Ryan, there's two people I think Putin pays, Rohrabacher and Trump. Talking about Dana Rohrabacher, who's very pro-Putin, pro-Russian Republican. Because, you know, even then they all have, like, their pet pro things.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Maybe not. Maybe they're getting Putin that sweet Putin money. But at the time, on tape, this is being asserted, Speaker Ryan interjects immediately and says, no leaks. This is how we know we're a family here. The family. Right? Because, you know, those Russian mobsters, you don't fuck with... I've seen the movies. You don't fuck with Russian mobsters. That's a family, all right. But this is absurd. I mean, we have the secrets. We have all the... You know, Donald Trump says there's recordings of Flynn talking to him, but no, there's not tapes. Maybe there's tapes. You know, is there a memo? There's not a memo. There's a tape of this going on, but, you know, we got to keep it quiet. And then they're putting out constant lies. He's just, making Sean Spicer say lie after lie after lie.
That poor man.
Not that poor man. He's a fucking bully and an asshole.
Well, anybody who takes the position of White House spokesman knows he's going to have to lie to everybody. He's going to have to stand behind any statement the president makes.
Yeah, but to have so much animosity to the press and to the function of the press, right? It's just disgusting.
Well, he's thin-skinned. He's way too thin-skinned for the job.
Yeah, well, apparently this is going on at the White House, and of course we knew this, but this is more confirmation of it. New report indicates that the president has a habit of being influenced by whatever recent news is placed before him. We had heard this before. Characteristic that has serious implications. Deputy National Security Advisor KT McFarland was in hot water when she had Trump convinced that the media had hypocritically flip-flopped. I love this part of the story, by the way, because I'll tell you what it is. It's doubly stupid. Basically, there were these two Time magazine covers, one from back in the 70s and one from more recently. And one of them said, oh, is there a coming ice age? And the second one said, oh, global warming is happening. And you're able to show that to Trump, slap it down in front of him. And he goes, oh, these hypocrites, they can't even make up their minds. Of course, it's all a hoax perpetuated by the Chinese or whatever else Alex Jones said. Or whatever the person who slapped something down on my desk 2 seconds ago said, right? Two problems with that. Most people are talking about the second. I'll mention my point is that you don't think that in like 30 or 40 years, like science would learn new things?
For one, yeah.
Right. That's a big... Like, they could change their minds, right? With new data, new evidence, right? Here's the second problem. That first one was photoshopped. It was completely fake. It never happened. It was a well-known internet fake. They put it in front of him, and he's just, yeah, I knew it. So apparently they were able to stop him before he started tweeting about it or, you know, going out and making statements about it. But that's like what he's just kind of wandering around taking in stuff because I gotta eat the information like Pac-Man pellets and then vomit it back out and then do the next set of them before they're gone, right? Like, and that's what they're doing. They're just putting things in front of him and they're routinely putting to get like his attention or to get him on a certain task. I'm sure Bannon is pushing a lot of this. They're putting
Bannon's out of the White House.
No, he's in the White House. He's just not in the national security briefings anymore.
Oh.
But he's still the chief advisor, right? So he still has a lot of control over what's being said there. There are many other aides with agendas.
I thought the power play would be with him and Kushner.
Kushner, I think, mostly has his ear now. But even Kushner is a right-wing asshole who's pushing a lot of this stuff, too. Certainly when you read what his own son, Donald Trump Jr., right?
I agree, but it's Bannon who's the Nazi racist. I kind of wonder if he still can put things on his
desk.
I'm
sure he still has hooks in. And I think that there are people competing every day to put this. And a lot of them are just lies. They're just false news. And that's what's coming out here is that, yeah, they're just putting fake shit in front of the president. They're not putting Snopes down, right? Or PolitiFact or something, right? They're just putting stuff down to say, like, whatever Alex Jones said, or whatever Breitbart, or Drudge, or Rush Limbaugh said. Like, this is the gospel.
No.
This is the New Testament. You read this. And now we're hearing that President Trump told his advisors that he favors ending the payments to insurers that he's supposed to usher under the Affordable Care Act. So essentially, he's telling them his plan is to sabotage it. And he's threatened to do that. Now it seems like he's going to do that. No final decision has been made at this time, but the officials from the White House said all options are on the table. This would cause premiums to rise almost 20% if Trump did that. That affects you, America. So you should be angry about that. That affects all of us. God damn. But yeah, just constant fake news and bullshit and lies and idiocy and incompetence. You know, I've seen a few people say, like, well, an evil president who was, like, an evil madman would at least have some stability. This person could just blow us up on a whim because he's an idiot. Like, this is even worse. It's dangerous and chaotic. It's not just evil. At least you can, like, attack a system, right? This is how you attack this thing that's just... But it seems to be his worst enemy is himself, right? So... For the first time, a majority of Americans, now polled, want Trump impeached. Want Trump impeached. We've been covering his unapproval rating.
Right.
Not, or, you know, unfavorability. Not his favorability, because that would be burying the lead. But a survey from public policy polling released Tuesday, 48% of those questioned support impeaching the president. 48% of the country. Almost half. 41% would oppose it. A bunch of people don't know. Maybe. But sure.
You know, that also shows how polarized we are.
It does absolutely show that. The negative feelings really have been getting worse and worse.
So that doesn't leave too much undecided at all. I mean, you're either for him or against him.
12%. Yeah, 12% aren't sure. At this point, I think a lot of it is just, some of that number isn't just polarized. 48% of the country must include a lot of independents, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's people who are just saying, well, if it's not the emoluments, it's this, and if it's not that, it's Russia, and if it's not Russia, it's that, you know. Like, there's a lot of things you could get him, just get rid of him at this point. You know, I mean, I don't know that that's one poll. I don't know, it could be getting worse and worse. And yeah, and for Trump, it is getting worse and worse. I really think he's getting boxed in now. I hope he feels it.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier, but part of me, well, when Trump came to office, I was afraid as anybody else as to what he's doing, and certainly his cabinet picks had the potential of doing great harm, and are doing it as we speak. But Trump is doing something that all liberals and progressives especially have wished for and dreamed about, and that's the destruction of the Republican Party.
Right.
Because they have their guy in there, he'll sign anything they put in front of them, but he's created such a chaotic atmosphere in Washington that nobody can get anything passed or anything done to put in front of him to sign. So they're paralyzed. And the longer he remains in office, the more harm is done to the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart rejoices in that.
This can play out in that there's been a lot of numbers coming out where some 80-some percent of the Trumpsters still support him, and that's the base.
Mm-hmm.
So the Republicans are catering to that for their primaries.
Right, so they're hesitant to act on any of this stuff because they fear of losing their base.
Right, but that has the result of either driving the incumbent candidate more to the right, or a more right-wing candidate wins that primary, like Trump did. And then they go up against a sane, normal person. And the majority of people, including the independents, who are going to make up all these elections in the future, enough of them are going to say, wow, a crazy person, or, like a normal, like, responsible adult. And it's a risky strategy. Let's see how it works out for them. You know?
Okay, but it would be a lot more risky if it wasn't Pence standing in line. And
which is why we cannot take our eye off him. He has got to go too, because he is complicit. It seems from every how could he not know? How could he claim that he didn't know? You know, and so you're absolutely right.
And then the third in line,
Paul Ryan, but he's telling people to keep quiet about things on tape.
Right. So you know, you have even worse people in line. So I'm thinking, keep him in office as long as you can. I hope he stays until the elections in November of next year, because then we get Congress back.
Yeah, well, it may end up being that because the investigation, we need to be patient. It's not going to happen overnight, right?
No.
So maybe this will all be timed. But I don't want to say keep him in there. I do want him out. I want all of them out as soon as possible. The damage that's being done to the, immigrant community in this country, the damage that's being done to Muslims, everything, our system of law.
None of that's going to change science. With Pence or Ryan.
No, but I'm advocating taking them all down. In fact, I think the entire, clearly fascist right wing, but also the neoconservative and the neoliberal economic strategies are completely toxic and are disproven, because this is the cancer that grows out of it. This is the thing that disproves that a lot of those things work. So if you are somebody who hates crony capitalism, you're on the right and you don't like the banks and you don't like, this is what Trump is. You need to wake up and realize Trump is essentially, I don't believe in the Antichrist, but in the symbolic term, right? He's the culmination of these bad things in their final output, and people need to wake up and see that. If you're on the left and you think, well, I just don't like the Democratic Party, that's great. go support a candidate you do like. But I gotta say, like, one of these two things don't look like the other, because one of them looks like fascism. And if you don't like that, and you don't like neoliberalism, that they decry the Democrats have usually been, right? Then take all that and say, that's it. No more of that. It's all toxic. And make that argument. That's great. But everybody needs to be focused on the source of the infection. The site. The worst part now boiling over onto our streets.
And if you know people who have voted for Trump, be diplomatic.
But firm.
Recognize that they're exhibiting a very basic human trait of not wanting to be wrong, fundamentally in something very important, to having to admit to people that they were wrong, mm-hmm. and having to ally themselves with people that they have thought for so long to be the enemy. Mm-hmm. So all of that has to be overcome, and if they're teetering, encourage them, and if they say anything that is critical at all of Trump,
build on that.
And say, look, you know, we all make mistakes. They fear the reaction that they're going to get if they admit that they're wrong. Don't give them that negative reaction, is what I'm saying. Because that is what they're fearful of. All finger, you did it. So if they're close to admitting that, build on that and say, look, you know, we welcome you. Everybody makes mistakes. But if, you know, if you recognize that and build on that, fine. Then you're a true American.
Well, agree and also disagree.
All right.
Because I do think there are some people who are like that. I think there are a lot of people who are also stubborn as mules, even though they're Republicans with the elephant, right? But they are, there's a tendency for people, including Trump, that type of mentality, to double down, to retrench. People, when they're faced with evidence that's counter to their belief systems, and we're talking about tribal beliefs tied to their identity, right? They will completely, no amount of evidence and logic that you're presenting them, they will try to block all of it out.
Yeah.
And you have to break through that. You have to shock some of it into them. I really...
at least be discerning as to the approach you take. And
there's no reason to be a dick. But...
And I'm basically talking to people who have family members, people they know.
Don't alienate people.
Right.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And I think that people, especially if you know them, it's not just like an anonymous internet conversation between two people. Like, I think that if you know people and you can debate them, and you have in the past, and you're respectful and civil about it, sure. But I also think there's a certain time and place where maybe you have to use some very firm rhetoric, right, for people to realize, wow, I fell for a con. And we called Donald Trump a con man, and people, it's a well-known pattern.
Well, when
that
you tell them that they fell for a con, you have to be sympathetic.
No, you don't. We know this because people who fall for cons in real, and this is real life, but when they fall for a con artist, they don't want to admit to themselves in their own mind that they fell for a con. Their own shame at that sort of admission of wrongness, that they're stupid or gullible, is their cognitive dissonance is protecting them to such an extent that they will build a mental wall around that. And the only way to get through to people, the only way to get through to people who are, like, in cults, is to shock it out of them. And I don't mean electroshock, so please, I'm not like Mike Pence. But I mean they actually will, in the harshest rhetoric they can, right, get people, and with the whole, I think we really need to just hire a lot of, like, people who go, help people get removed from cults. Where they take them, like, to a hotel and they, like, you know,
I'm talking about people
shout
that
the truth
know
at them.
Well enough to see that they're on the fence.
Right. No, right. As you say, be discerning. But, man, some of these people are so far gone. And I don't think they have anyone like that to reason with them. They've never met a Muslim person, right? A lot of them, right? So they just have bought all these lies. They have this idea of what a coastal elite liberal thinks without actually asking one, even though they could easily get on the device that they're, the same device they're shouting their fringe conspiracies on, and they could, oh, hey, what do you actually think?
Yeah, well, you get into Twitter wars with these people, so you see the worst of it.
I get into Twitter wars with these people we're talking about, and that's not the worst of it. And they think, you know, I'm going to insult this guy, and that's me winning the argument. And I say, hey, I've gone up against fucking Nazis on Twitter. You're not the worst of it. Literally nothing any of you can say can bother me, right? Like, so if you want to yell, oh, you're a special snowflake, you're a dumb liberal, like, okay, but I'm still right, and you haven't addressed the evidence, and you haven't presented any evidence of your own that 3 million people voted illegally, or whatever the stupid claim is. And every day, it's all those arrows are pointing and pointing at Trump from every direction. A timeline is consistent. Everybody acting in concert looks consistent. All these reports and leaks all point to the same thing. And no amount of other, like, distracting conspiracy theories from the right that are easily debunked. Let's take, like, a random murder case and try, oh, look at this, look over here. It doesn't work, because there's actually something there.
Yeah.
He's innocent until proven guilty. Sorry.
Something you said about shocking people. I think, in essence, that's what Trump is doing to the American people,
yeah.
Waking them up to something that has been happening ever since Reagan was elected.
Yeah, you're talking about, like, on a political, rhetorical, and propaganda demagoguery level.
Right.
Yeah, there's a word for that that the intelligence community invented to describe what other countries like Russia and Putin do. It's called active measures. They're engaged in active measures. They know that Putin does it, and CIA analysts have come forward and testified in Congress and said that we know that it benefits Trump, and Trump, you know, it, not saying there's a specific connection just on this, but that we know that it works for Trump, it works for the Russians, so the Russians benefit when Trump does it. So that's absolutely on record, right? And yeah, he does it. Whenever he takes to Twitter, whenever he's, like, insult, whenever he calls the media fake, when they try to just confuse things and create some chaos... It's strange times, my friend.
But we have done a drastic slide since 1980 when Reagan...
Yeah.
People that are under 57 years old, I figure this out, figuring that they'd have to be around 15 years old to start becoming politically aware and saying, well, things are changing and different from what I knew before. Mm. You'd have to be 57 years or older to have been politically aware enough to know that there was a time before Reagan, yeah, when things were considerably different. People...
And every year that gets a year higher.
I know. Yeah. And so they have no concept of how bad it has gotten.
Well, they don't remember Nixon. I wasn't around for
Nixon.
As
Norman Goldman, a progressive radio talk show host, said, when Nixon was president, I thought, this is the worst.
Yeah.
He's the worst president ever. Mm-hmm. And then Reagan came along and made me sort of wish we had Nixon. And then W came along and sort of made me wish we had Reagan.
And now people are wistfully saying, oh, remember when George W. said that we're not fighting Islam, we're not fighting their belief, their religion, their beautiful religion, we're fighting terrorists, and the terrorists want to use that as to legitimize themselves, that they represent Islam, and we won't give them that. Wow, what a wonderful president compared to Trump. Oh boy, he can photobomb, and it's charming now. There's this obfuscation of the truth, this confusing of the truth is only going to continue. Jeff Sessions doesn't want there to be forensic science. They've shut down climate science. They've hurt the EPA. But even more than that, Trump's FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, proposed a plan to eliminate net neutrality and privacy for broadband subscribers. Those protections are very popular, so he and his allies are paying lip service to them in some way, but really, they're pushing to destroy the legal foundation of net neutrality. So under current law, the FCC can label broadband internet service as an information service or not. And that they have in the past incorrectly classified it as an information service based on, you know, older laws. But essentially, the D.C. Circuit Court explained, it would be inconsistent for the FCC to exempt broadband from Title II's non-discrimination requirements by classifying it as an information service, but then impose some requirements anyway. So they're saying it's not consistent. Like, you have to actually adhere to the law in spirit and in practice. Because if you're only saying, like, in lip service, like, yeah, well, of course we're going to do the regulations, we're just not going to officially adhere to Title II, well, then they could just decide not to do it at some point, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
so, yeah, it's not meaningful. If you want those open internet rules to pass judicial scrutiny, this is from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the FCC has to reclassify broadband service under Title II. It was clear to neutrality observers that reclassification made sense and that it is a telecommunications service more than just an information service. And there is a distinction under Title II law. Yes. And so delivering information of the subscriber's choosing, not curated, altered, sped up, or slowed down by a provider. Even if they say, like, well, they're not going to really be allowed to do that still, based, you know, on their someone's discretion. No, it's supposed to be under the law. So they're proposing reversing those decisions, putting it back under information service. Yeah, well, it's a very, they're trying to do something where they pay lip service to it and then do a sneaky thing.
Yeah.
Because they figure every time they've, SOPA, PIPA, even the, under the TPP, what it would have happened. All these things that have come after net neutrality in the past have caused a huge uproar. In countries where we didn't expect there to be riots or protests or uprisings, when they went after their internet, they went out in the streets, right? This has happened. So they have to, they're trying to find some sneaky way so that Time Warner Cable can slice up your internet into favored or disfavored or like premium and non-premium content that's, but you're just paying for it. You're paying them to do that to you. And everyone knows how popular Time Warner and Comcast are. So
information is power.
Yeah.
And the internet is,
and monetized.
The entire knowledge base of the human race is on the internet.
Well, close to it, yeah.
And for the first time, the average Joe Blow has access to all that information.
Mm-hmm.
And information is power. And they want to regulate that to, so they maintain the power. It's one of the most important issues politically, I think, is net neutrality. Because if you control information, you have it.
Yeah.
Like 1984, you just rewrite the history books, rewrite the Wikipedias.
But even then, as I said, you know, if it were just an evil regime like in 1984, which is what they want this future to be, at least it would be a system that someone could attack that is, that the, you know, the revolutionaries, that's a, like, that's a consistent structure, right? This is just chaos. Trump, in his capacity as the commander-in-chief, gives away secret information to the Russians. Claims, you know, that, like, Edward Snowden should be thrown in prison and all this stuff, and has said terrible things about other whistleblowers and hates leakers, but he's leaking. And worst of all, nothing's safe with him, nothing's secure with him. There was a ProPublica story where they rented a boat, one of those big Wi-Fi sniffers. It kind of looks like a big Pringles can. Actually, there's YouTube videos where you can make one of these with, like, certain little, like, thumb dongle technology and then an actual Pringles can and, like, some foil or something. And you can actually pick up Wi-Fi signals and it'll sniff them out. And then it's a lot of times, depending on the encryption, the level of the encryption, it may be difficult or maybe incredibly easy to find them and then hack in and use them, right? And you're not just using them. You would have access to what's there, right?
Right.
Well, they took a boat and they floated out a little bit away from Mar-a-Lago in Florida, and they found that they absolutely could break into multiple Wi-Fi servers. Now, they're not saying these were definitely ones that Trump uses, But many of his guests use it, right? Mm-hmm. It's open. There are little to no encryption on a lot of these. They said, we could have easily broken into multiple ones in less than 5 minutes, but we chose not to. We did not do that. But anyone with a boat can do this. So, you know, if some foreign agent wanted to book a room at Mar-a-Lago, or just rent a little dinghy, or just go to the White House and talk to him. None of our, like, if anybody thought that anything about leakers like Chelsea Manning, to bring it back to the beginning of the show, or John Kiriakou, or Edward Snowden, or any of these folks, like, if anyone thought, oh, these people are enemies, they're traitors to America, well, hey, this is the worst and most incompetent one of all. And he is leaking stuff.
Like a shiv.
So, oh, he's a president, he's allowed to. Okay, fine. It's still dangerous. Like, it's still, the thing is happening. Right? Like, it's not a question of whether they're allowed to or not. It's whether it's smart or decent or a good idea or not. What is the information? Who is it going to? How is it getting out? Is it accountable?
Yeah, do people die?
Oh my God. Like, at least Snowden would vet the information. Anyway, oh, that's all I have this week. You got the eyes watching us at the end there.
Yeah, they're always watching. You never think you're alone. The camera's everywhere.
And if not in your room, they soon will be. But they're out there busting heads right now.
Well, your smart TV is watching you.
Yeah.
Well,
Trump's microwave is bugged by Obama. But... But no, but truly, this apparatus, all of these things were handed to the worst people in the world. Some of the worst people in the world. And if they're not the worst people in the world, Trump has praised the worst people in the world.
Yeah.
Certain dictators and people who have committed genocide. And, oh, those are strong, strong leaders. So.
Well, assuming we're still here next week.
That's the other thing. I don't really want to wish for this to continue at all with Trump, because any day now this buffoon could just decide, give me the football, I'm gonna blow up something with the mother of all bombs. I'm not trying to scare people. Yeah, next week, or the next week we are here, we will have more terrible news for you, but we're gonna pepper in some of the good news, because, you know, it's still people need to remember, it's still the majority of the country are good people, and or at least just decent people, and the majority of people are sane, rational adults who don't like this. You heard the poll numbers, right? And they're people who are either resisting, or they're definitely making their disapproval known, and they're just trying to do good things and actually help us progress, and life can go on.
So, but if you're one of those people, like my ex-wife, who's just so overwhelmed by all of this and is beginning to shut down, take some time, go watch some cat videos.
Or little baby foxes.
Take a breath and come back to it when you're more centered. Because this is going to be an ongoing thing for at least a year and a half.
Yeah, be patient. The investigation is going, there are multiple investigations going on. And
as you said, it's going to take time.
And they wouldn't keep going this long if they weren't finding stuff, because a FISA court has to continually approve them. So we'll see. We'll wait and see.
This is going to.
He's innocent until proven guilty. Everybody, I'll give you that. Stranger things have been known to happen. He could be a total patsy, and everyone else around him is guilty, but not him. We'll see. We'll find out. The truth will come out, and we'll be here to also report on it. So. Stay tuned. You're listening to Mutiny Radio, mutinyradio.fm.
With the Stranger.
And Chuck Weiss. So we'll see you next time. Do you want the honors?
No, you do it.
Okay. It isn't, 2018 yet. Is it tomorrow if you haven't slept yet? Good night, everybody.
Good night.